I wanted to start with just a few words about the book of Lamentations, because this is not a book of the Bible that we read a lot in worship, and I suspect it's not a book that a lot of people read a lot on their own as well. It's a tough one. I mean, it's just a little book sort of stuck in there between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. It's easy to just pass right by it. Now, traditionally, the book of Lamentations is attributed to the prophet Jeremiah. Remember, the weeping prophet, whose words we've been reading for a number of weeks. Now, as with most traditional attributions of authorship, scholars have some doubt whether Jeremiah actually wrote Lamentations, but he could have. This book is written, as you may have heard, clearly in the time period of the prophet Jeremiah. Remember, last week he was prophesying with the Babylonians there at the gates of Jerusalem in 587 BC. Well, Lamentations is written at some point after the Babylonians had come in and destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and taken at least some of the people, mainly the most prominent people, into exile into Babylon. So Jeremiah could have been the one who wrote this book. We just don't really know. It's clearly written by someone who has survived the invasion and is remaining in Jerusalem. So it's written by someone who is trying to live their lives amongst the ruins of this once great city and the ruins of the temple, God's home. With an uncertain future, will they even be able to survive after this invasion and all these people were taken away? And that accounts for the rather profound imagery used in the first chapter, particularly, that this city is like a widow whose husband has died, whose friends and lovers have all deserted, whose enemies are mocking. And remember, a widow in this time would have been bereft if there was no other family to care for her. No real prospect. So Jerusalem is like a widow, mourning, grieving, even bitter. It's a profound image, I think, and there's real pain in here. The biblical scholar Walter Brueggemann has said something along the lines of, in this and in the Psalms of lament, there are many Psalms that sound like this as well, that to get to the heart of real grief requires a poet. And that's what we have here. The writer of Lamentations, whoever it is. Funneling pain into poetry, but poetry also directed to God. And this gets to one of the particularly troubling aspects, I think, of Lamentations. Do you notice in the first chapter there's this line that says, certainly God caused this grief. Lamentations opens up that troubling idea in theology known as theodicy, which is the problem of evil. If God is all-powerful and in control of all things, why is there evil and suffering and pain? Is God not all-powerful? That's a troubling thought. Does God cause suffering and pain? That's an equally troubling thought. Well, the writer of Lamentations, at least in chapter 1, comes down with saying, God is behind what has happened to us, but it's really our fault. It's because of our unfaithfulness, because of what we have done. Which is an equally troubling thought. That's why Lamentations is kind of a troubling book, which is why it probably is not on the top of anyone's favorite books in the Bible. But it's important because it does get to the depth of real human emotion and pain. If you are grieving, suffering, anxious, uncertain, feeling like you're just holding on, these are the sorts of things you're thinking about. And that's why I think it's important to notice the shift then in the third chapter of Lamentations, as Frank read for us. It's also the shift you will find in almost all of these Psalms of lament in the book of Psalms. Remember, these are all directed to God. Even in bitterness and pain and grief, these are people directing this to God. And even as the third chapter says, I am full of, the traditional rendering is wormwood and gall, poison, I think in the translation Frank was reading. Then it says, but I have hope. And we come to some more certainties. Did you notice? Remember the first chapter, it's certainly God has caused this because of what we did. In the third chapter, we get certainly God's steadfast love remains. Certainly God's compassion is not over. Even in the midst of pain and grief and uncertainty, the writer of Lamentations says, yet I know God is with me in this pain and suffering and grief. And I find this particularly amazing, again, thinking about the context here. This is someone sitting in the ruins of Jerusalem, sitting, seeing every day the ruins of this temple. And remember, for the Jews at this time, the temple was literally God's home. God lived there. That was God's point of contact, was the temple, the Holy of Holies. With that gone, where's God? And the writer of Lamentations, at least, is beginning to realize God is still here. God's home was destroyed, but God is still here with me, in this place, in my suffering, in my grief. God's love is still here. In fact, it is renewed every day. Which gets us to the hymn we began with, which is based on this passage in Lamentations. Great is God's faithfulness. Great is God's love every day, even in the midst of the most painful, grief-stricken moments. God is here. And then the writer of Lamentations says, and so not only do I hope, but I also wait. I know God is here, and I know God will deliver me. That's faith. I don't know what you may be lamenting this day, but I know, I'll just say, I think our country, our world, is in some troubling times. And maybe that's always true, but it seems particularly troubling in many ways to me. And it's not clear how some of these things are going to resolve, how or when. And so I sort of latched on to some of these words in Lamentations this week. And so I offer them maybe for you to carry with you as well. There are many things we may be lamenting personally today in our families, in our world. But think of this writer there, this poet in the ruins of Jerusalem, able to say in the midst of all the grief and anger and bitterness and uncertainty. I know God is here. God's love is renewed every day. And so I hope and I wait for the deliverance I know will come. Maybe sometimes that's the best we can do. Amen.